free and happy band. Though we're foreign to this land, we're at home at God's right hand in the heavenlies. To this world of sin we died with our Lord once crucified. Now we're seated at His side in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies, in the heavenlies. Let us sing it o'er and o'er, tell it out from shore to shore. In the slain, blessed news today we claim. All His worth we now may claim in the heavenlies. Since we're saved from endless woe, daily in His grace we grow. Jesus only will we know in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies, in the heavenlies. Let us sing it o'er and o'er, tell it out from shore to shore. Forevermore in the heavenlies. God Almighty gulfed this man and revealed His wondrous plan when He made us one new man in the heavenlies. So if we will only pray, He will do for us today more than we may think or say. Sword and helmet bright, we will win the hardest fight as we battle for the right in the heavenlies. We shall never more retreat, neither rest our weary feet, till the victory is complete in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies, in the heavenlies. Let us sing it o'er and o'er, tell it out from shore to shore. Has shown and has sealed us for His own. Now we're waiting for a throne in the heavenlies. Not of earth do we desire, we're baptized with holy fire. Only love that He required in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies, in the heavenlies. Let us sing it o'er and o'er, tell it out from shore to shore. Forevermore in the heavenlies. When our victories all are won, we shall hear the cry well done. Then we'll reign with Christ the Son in the heavenlies. We'll be robed in spotless white, praising Jesus day and night. For we conquer through His might in the heavenlies. In the heavenlies, in the heavenlies. Let us sing it o'er and o'er, shore to shore, in the heavenlies, in the heavenlies, safe in Christ forevermore, in the heavenlies.
Well, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 14 again. We've been studying these opening verses to this letter by the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1 and beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption, through his blood the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We've been studying this list of blessings, heavenly blessings, that we have all by his grace, all by his purpose, all for his glory. These are things that God in his faithfulness have done for us, has accomplished for us through the work of his son Jesus Christ on the cross. These are all past tense. These are all blessings that have been secured for us by the very sacrifice of Jesus Christ. None of these blessings are things that we have to work to keep, that we have to work to obtain. They are given to us, has blessed us, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So as we looked at this list of seven things, he chose us, he predestined us, he made us accepted. We've looked at those three already in our previous studies, and today we'll consider redemption, and we'll see how far we get. But redemption is number four, made known to us the mystery of his will. That is number five. Number six is that we have obtained an inheritance. And then number seven, sealed by the Holy Spirit. So let's look at this fourth blessing found in this passage, and that is our redemption, which includes, again, there are sub blessings for each of these seven blessings, but because we have been redeemed, our sins have been forgiven. It is by the richness of his grace that we have redemption. The debt of our sin, we owed a debt to our Creator. Because of Adam's sin, that we were born into sin. And because we are sinners by birth, we are sinners by nature, and that means we are also sinners by practice. And so we were slaves to sin and to all of its self-destructive characteristics. Sin always produces death of some kind. Sin is a cruel taskmaster. And we were slaves to sin. But because of Jesus Christ, he paid the price to redeem us, literally to buy us out of sin, that we are no longer in bondage to sin. And we no longer have to follow its dictates for our life that brings so much destruction to life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, we see, as it was stated here in Ephesians, it was according to the richness of his grace that we were able to be purchased, that the price was paid. And so, because we have been redeemed, in the Old Testament we read, the redeemed of the Lord should say so. And we need to understand how blessed we are because we have been purchased out of sin, and now we are made the children of God. Because the price was paid to free us. That means that we are free from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death, the second death. So since I'm redeemed, I never have to worry about experiencing the wrath of God. I'm redeemed. That's nothing that I can boast in and of myself because I didn't pay the price. Jesus paid the price for me. But because he paid the price, I never have to worry about the wrath of God, of being eternally separated from my Creator. I belong to him. He bought me. But I'm also redeemed from the very power of sin in this life. A child of God has two natures. We have the nature with which we were born, which is sinful, the nature of Adam. But because we are now made the children of God, we have the very divine nature of our Heavenly Father, which can not sin. It can only do the will of God. But because we have the two natures, we can give in to that old nature. And as the children of God, we can still sin. And sin, even in the life of the believer, has a destructive power. It robs God's people of entering into all that God's grace has supplied for us. And so sin is destructive, even for the child of God. But because I'm redeemed, that means God has provided me the power. I no longer have to obey the dictates of my sinful flesh. I can, but I'm not obligated to. Those who have never accepted Jesus Christ, they can't do anything but sin against their Creator. Because even their good deeds, even their noble deeds, are because they have rejected the gift of Jesus Christ, it is in direct rebellion against the Creator. And so even the plowing of their fields, the Bible tells us, is sinful. They are bound to be victims, to be slaves to the power of sin. I'm not. I don't have to be, because I've been redeemed. But I have to make that choice to enter into the fullness of what Christ died to give me, power over sin. One day, I'm going to be delivered from the very presence of sin. As long as we're in this life, there's always going to be the negative effects, even though it may not be our sin, but just the sin of society. It negatively impacts us. And it brings harm and it brings danger because of sin, the very presence of sin. But because I've been redeemed, I have this glorious hope that I will be delivered from the very presence of sin. One of the things that makes heaven, heaven, first and foremost, that's where my Father is. That's where my Savior is. But another wonderful benefit of heaven, sin will not be present because I've been redeemed. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. What was he rich in? He was rich in a life of righteousness, a life that was free of sin. God placed great value on that life of righteousness. He was rich, but he gave up his life. Not his righteousness, but he laid down his life that I might become rich, that I might receive his righteousness, that it might be imputed, put to my account, that I might be right with God, because Jesus paid the price. By the shed blood, my sins were forgiven according to the riches of his grace. Our sin was against God. If man could grasp this, we are created. And the evidence of God, it's all around us. Just our very human bodies and creation and how the universe and how everything revolves around this little blue marble in the galaxy. God had a plan for man, and that was a creature that would love him, that would have fellowship with him. God created us, and yet man rebelled against his creator, sinned against him. And only God knew that what that debt was. Only God could provide the payment necessary to redeem us back to himself. He created us, but we were bought into sin because of Adam's sin. But Jesus Christ paid the price that was necessary. God knew that only his only begotten Son, who knew no sin, could represent man before him and pay that price. What a joy to know that sin and death no longer have any power over me. Oh, yes, I may die physically, I understand that. But death is not the end for me. It's not the end for anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed from the power of sin and death. Hebrews 9 and verse 12. And this redemption, it's not for a little while. It's not until we mess up. And then God throws us out, and now you are a slave of sin again, and I have nothing to do with you. No, That's not the kind of redemption that God has given us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Hebrews 9 and verse 12, not with the blood of goats and calves from those Old Testament sacrifices, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained what kind of redemption? Eternal redemption. I am forever a child of God. I will never again fall into that realm of sin and death, that hopelessness, because I have been given a new life, and that life is eternal. That redemption is eternal. And because I've been bought from the slavery of sin, that means I now have freedom to serve and to worship God and to enjoy all of the benefits that come with being a child of God. I'm free to serve Him. This is what the liberty of the gospel is all about. It's not liberty to do whatever you want to please yourself, because that kind of selfishness, again, leads to sin and destruction. But it's liberty to do the will of God. When I was a slave to sin, before I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I didn't have freedom to do the will of God and to enjoy the blessings of doing the will of God. But I do now. I have that freedom to live a life of godliness. And if we could somehow communicate that to God's people, that living a life of godliness is not a life that is boring or that is an oppression, that you just always have to do what God wants you to do. It is liberty, because in the will of God, we find every provision we need, spirit, soul, and body, for my emotions. And during this time of pandemic, I mean, the depression, the suicides, even among young people and children, because there's a hopelessness. But in the will of God, I find everything I need for my emotions, for my body, for every aspect of my life. I now have freedom to walk in the blessings of doing the will of God. We need to understand the value of the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. I no longer have to wrestle with guilt or condemnation. I rest in the eternal redemption that is mine in Christ. The fifth blessing that we see in this passage is that made known to us the mystery of His will. Again, sadly, few of God's people really understand the value of this blessing. What a blessing to be let in on the secret counsel of the Almighty God. The all-wise God has told me what His plans and purposes are, not only for me, but for the human race, for the nation of Israel, for the nations in general. He's let me in on these secrets. And knowing the will of God, knowing the mystery of His will, it gives me peace and joy to know that I'm a part of what He's doing. He is reconciling all things to Himself in Christ. All things in heaven and earth will be brought back to acknowledge that God is God. And it's only just and right that the Creator of heaven and earth receive His glory and His honor. And in Christ, God is bringing every aspect of humanity and the universe, He's bringing it back to acknowledge He's God and worthy of our praise. He's doing that through Christ. And the way He's reconciling all things back to Himself, some through salvation. I'm glad I'm a part of that group, that I've been reconciled with my Creator and I can call Him Father. But those who reject Christ, they'll also, through judgment, will be brought back to a place where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord and that God, the Father, is God. He is reconciling all things to Himself. Because of this blessing of the gospel, I've been made wise. Wise in eternal things. I know where I come from. I know why the world is in the condition that it's in. I know why I wrestle with the things that I wrestle. I know why I'm here, and I also know where I'm going. And all of these questions, where we come from, why we're here, where are we going? Man has wrestled with these questions. I know the answer to them. And it's not because I figured them out. It's not because I'm so smart or intelligent. It's because I've been blessed to be let in on the mysteries of His will. By His grace, He's revealed these things to me. By His Spirit, I understand these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. The Apostle Paul wrote to Corinthians about this wisdom and how that it goes beyond the wisdom of man. The world looks at us and they consider us who believe the Bible and to take God at His word. They believe that we're foolish and naive, simpletons. But I know better. And I'm not bragging in myself, because remember, all of these blessings are by His grace, by His will, by His purpose, for His glory. But I don't hesitate to brag on His grace. I don't hesitate to rejoice in the fact that I know some things that some of the smartest men on the planet don't know, refuse to know, because they've rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 31. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And remember how powerful He is. He is the Almighty God. And we have been saved by that power. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. When they mock us, understand that God will take care of that. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. With all of the education and technology and all that man has achieved in this world, it only takes him further and further from God. In their wisdom, they have rejected God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. That's still our simple message, that salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. To the religious of the world, simple faith in the work of Jesus on the cross, that just stumbles them, because they think they can make themselves acceptable. We'll make sacrifices. We'll do what's necessary to please God and to earn His grace. Those two words are opposite, earn and grace. So to the religious of the world, the Jews and other religions today who try to earn salvation of some kind, acceptance in the presence of God, it's a stumbling block for them, the simple preaching of the cross. And to the Greeks, well, it's foolishness. Verse 24, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. If you could say there was any foolishness in God, it would still be wiser than the wisest of men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, look around, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That doesn't mean there aren't any. In fact, the indication is there are some. But they're not many, because it's too hard for them to let go of their wisdom to receive the wisdom that comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Stop and think about that. When the world mocks you and laughs at you and you're nothing and you're weak and you're naive, you need to take that as a compliment, because God said He's chosen the weak. The Almighty God, the all-wise God, has chosen you. And your life is a testimony to the reality of the wisdom of God. Those who live a life according to the will of God, they're enjoying all the blessings that God said we would enjoy. And those who think they're so wise to promote a lifestyle of sin and rebellion against God, look at those lives. Self-destructive, and yet they boast in it. The world's mocking does not put me to shame, because God has chosen me, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom. Why am I so wise? Because Christ became wisdom for me, that when I believe in Him and His sacrifice, He imparts to me a knowledge of the mystery of the will of God, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. I think we'll stop there this morning. May we not take these blessings for granted, saints. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed. I've been let in on the mysteries of the Almighty, the all-wise God. And I need to rejoice in that knowledge, not be ashamed of it. To rest in the comfort that it brings, the joy that it brings. I know what happens when I leave this life. I know what happens when my loved ones pass. Oh, that it doesn't mean we know all the answers to every question of life. But we know the end. And we have comfort and strength in the meantime until he does someday give us that full knowledge. But right now we have enough knowledge to trust our Heavenly Father and to know that he's working all things for our good and for his glory. Thank God for these blessings.